This morning I'm going to give a little devotional, believe it or not, if Jamie can do that, out of 2 Corinthians. And then Pastor Kim's going to come up and we're going to take you on our journey that we just got back from Africa. And I want to set it in a context of kind of our values as a church. And what are you guys doing here? The snowbirds are gone back up north. Every now and then they sneak back in just to see if we're fall apart when you're gone. You know, do they really have church when the snowbirds leave? And anyway, I can distract myself. So I want to give you a few principles of philosophy of how we run this church, our goals that'll help you. We're known in the area as a generous church. That is not something you come by having nice worship services or even preaching good or even ringing the bell. But you're known in the community because of your kindness, our generosity, our graciousness, whether it's through Hurricane Ian or every Thursday night up here or being at events at the hospital with our food truck or out here with serving hot, you know, we're known as but you don't become that out of just natural. One of the biggest miracles in Acts chapter 2 that we looked at last week, when Christ ascended to the right hand of God, he poured out his spirit. Acts 2 contains that story, and there's so many great miracles in there, but one of them that you can easily miss at the end of the chapter is at the end of the chapter it says that they're all stayed together, they were listening to the word, they were following the scriptures, they were in community with each other, they were worshiping, praying, but then it says this, and they sold their possessions to give to those who had need. And it's like, right in the middle of this spiritual speaking in tongues and prophecy and power of God, which is all the kingdom, there's this miracle that happens that when you know culture, and as we've led a church we're over 45 years now of leading a church, is that one of the biggest last places that the Holy Spirit finds in our hearts is our finances. And this miracle of generosity happened because God took tight-fisted people and made them open their hands and became generous. And this generous church got the recognition of the community around them. And that is this church. Now, there's different, you know, let me give you our financial policy in 60 seconds. Number one, we don't spend more than we take in. Basic budgeting. We have a council, we draw the line. One year we had to lay off 5 full-time employees when the crash hit because we were taking in this and spending this. And so we dropped salaries, we made cuts because we live within our means. Number two, as a church, we practice tithing. We give back, compassion. We give back to the vineyard that we're part of. We give back mission. That's a modeling that we teach. There was a step before that. Practice giving. Third thing is that we also practice radical generosity. Now this challenges people because we'll give to things that you'll never know, like Convoy of Hope. We take up huge amounts of money for Convo with children that we'll never meet, we'll never know. Now, we got to meet some of them, but typically most of us won't. And so in church life, and don't take this offensively, you put yourself in whatever category you're in with honesty, but there's 4 categories of people that attend the church. Now, I'm talking about the people that are considered this home. If you're a guest, I'm not talking about you, so don't listen to what I'm going to say in the next 60 seconds. But there's 4 categories for those of you that think this is your home. Number one, there's those that give nothing. And that's a sad category, and I don't even want to talk about that, and I want to hope that nobody falls into that. I called them derelict in the first service. I thought that probably was pretty offensive. But I'll say it again. You're derelict if this is your home and you don't give. You're a derelict. That's irresponsible. And if that hurts, oh well, you need to be hurt. That's just not... It's not following Jesus to be part of a community of faith and not give anything. And I would guess that nobody's in that category. No one got up and screamed at me and left to prove it. So, all right. So most of you are in the next couple categories. The second category is those that give. But you just give kind of as you feel as you're here. If you're not here, you don't give. and you give kind of what's left. You give whatever the whim of the moment. You give, you just, you give, but you there's no consistency. There's not a commitment. There's not a sacrifice. That's the second category. I'm not counting the first one, so really three categories. So there's just general, you give sometimes. The second category, and some people stay in church life for years and they never grow out of that. But the second category is how we function and operate is those that learn to honor God with their tithe, 10% of their finances. And it's not a feeling. It's not an emotion. It's not, well, I felt it today. You know, your heart has to be trained. The heart never goes, you're not born with a tithing heart. Let me just help you. You're born with a stingy heart. Everybody, have you ever met a two-year-old that's generous? Now, there may be a miracle baby out there somewhere. I'm sure baby Jesus was generous. But most of them, if you take their lollipop from them, they're going to scream at you, mine, mine. It's possession. It's you stole. You can't, you know, share. Why don't you share? Often I'll go up to kids with their donuts at times, and I'll say, hey, you want to give Pastor Jamie some of your donut? Most kids fail the test. Every now and then, there's a kind child that's well-raised, and they go like this. Most kids, no, it's my donut. You have to train that out of a child. If you don't model, give them an example. We trained our children to be givers, generous. We trained our children to tithe. Their first paychecks they got. So give, there's general, some of you in that category. Today, I'm hoping you move to the next category, which is learn to be a tither. And a tithe isn't just, it's dropping the last number on your paycheck or however you prospered. If you made $534 this week, you drop the four and you give $53. That's a tithe. It's not a guess. It's not a feeling. It's not an emotion. It's a commitment to say, God, everything I have came from you. So it's the first. You don't wait till you're done paying everything. You'll learn this in financial peace. You pay God first. You honor God first. Then you trust God for the rest. Now, they'll teach you in that course on how to be responsible with the rest of the money. Then there's the final category, the third, if you're starting with a general giver, tither. Third category is a radical, generous person. And we have them in our church. And that's the kind of church we want to have. We can't have it if we don't have people that are radical, like giving away an entire offering. That was a $54,000 offering. That's called radical generosity. That's us giving to somebody that will never know who it went to in the sense of specific children with Convoy of Hope. So Paul lays out, he's about to come and take up a giant offering like that for the church in Jerusalem that's suffering with a famine and heartache. And I just want to give you a few principles, because this is what based our trip. This is why we went to Africa and do what we do. Chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians, verse 6. Paul says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Now, in agricultural communities, they get that. No farmer weeps over putting his seed in the ground. No farmer thinks he's lost his seed when he put it in the ground. No farmer feels like he's been robbed when he sows his seed. The enemy wants you to feel like you have less when you sow your seed in God's kingdom than you had before you sowed your seed. And Paul says, no, you get to control the throttle of blessing. Not that you're buying it, but that you're planting in faith, honoring God. And if you want a little bit, give a little bit. If you want to be generous, give generous. And here's the cycle. You'll see this through these verses. God says, I'm going to bless you with seed. Use the seed. And as you sow, you reap. When you reap, now you have more to sow more seed. It's not, if you stop there, you have what's called the prosperity gospel, which is you sow to get from God, and you get from God, and you prosper, period. That's not the Bible. The Bible is God gives you seed, you sow the seed, you reap the seed, so you can be generous even more. And then it comes back around, God gives you more seed that you can sow the seed, reap the seed, be generous, give more. It's the cycle of the kingdom. And when you break it down by not sowing or by sowing and reaping and then stopping, that's not healthy. So Paul says, you get to control it. Now, He says, don't, verse 7, each man or woman should give what they've decided in their heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. Why? Because God loves a cheerful giver. So that means if you give stingy, God doesn't care. It's like the deacon one time, he was taking up an offering. The offering went by this guy. He accidentally pulled $100 out of his wallet, and he meant to pull the 10 out. He put the 100 in the offering by accident, and he realized, oh my gosh, I gave 100. He chases the deacon down and says, buddy, listen, I made a big mistake. He said, really? He said, yeah, I put 100 in, meant to give 10. He said, oh, well. Well, he said, what do you mean, oh, well? Well, you gave it. You gave it to God. He said, well, I can't get it back. No, you gave it to God. You don't take money back from God. He said, well, okay. At least I'll get credit for giving 100. He said, no, you won't. You'll get credit for giving 10. That's all you meant to give. That's the difference between a reluctant giver and a generous giver. I've had offerings in the past where people put jewelry in there to honor God. I've seen people radically generous that don't make much money. But I've never seen anybody happy that's stingy. I've never seen somebody that is so uptight and so stingy, that's so worried about, you're going to get mine. You're going to get more than me. You're going to get, you know, it's so Paul says, God wants you to be a generous giver with a smile, with joy. You'll see pictures of Kim and I in this trip with great smiles, especially her. And it's grueling and it's difficult and blah, blah, blah. But the joy of representing this church to children that are being raised out of abject poverty, being trained life skills and the Word of God and changing their community, standing in the middle of that knowing our church made this happen. As leaders, we're like, high five, high five. We're proud of what our church has been able to do. So Paul says, he says, be happy. You want a happy church? Be a generous church. You want a mean-spirited, stingy-minded? Be a church that's a hoarder. Be a church that's all about us. So we're going to fight that. It takes the Holy Spirit. If you leave yourself alone, you will not tithe. You leave yourself alone, you'll never be radically generous. But if you give the Holy Spirit permission to mess with your life and train me to be a happy person, and I can't be a happy person if I'm not a generous person. Because if I'm not generous, I'm not grateful. And if you're not grateful, you're never happy. But a generous person is someone that knows everything I have has come from God. And I'm generous with what he's given me. So Paul says, I love this next verse. You could spend a month in your journaling thinking about this verse 8. He says, God is able to make all grace abound to you so that in all things and at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. That's in the context of people that have learned to be radically generous. He that scatters abroad his gifts to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed, this will come up in our story in a minute. He who supplies, which is the Lord, he who supplies seed to the sower, bread for food, will also supply and increase your store of seed. In other words, when you plant your seed, you have more seed coming in the next harvest. The seeds of the future harvest are the seeds in the present harvest. If you don't put them in the ground, there's no harvest. And so he says, God can make all of that so that, verse 11, so that you'll be made rich in every way. And he's not necessarily talking about banker, but you can prosper and be rich without having huge amounts of money. It's about prosperity of soul, peace of mind, enough to be able to be generous to other people. That's what prosperous is. You will have be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. And that's what happened to us on this trip. Honey, come on up. We got to go to two different places, Burundi. We love the church in Burundi. We serve that church, partner with them, Anani and Claret. They're a vineyard like ours. They're probably the same size as our church as far as numbers of people. Their building is actually holds more people than ours. Of course, they squeeze in more than Americans will in our culture. But it's a beautiful church. People say, why in the world do you go? There's no beauty reason to go to Burundi. There's no safari reason. There's no, it's a country that's, it's in disrepair. It's a country without any industry. It's a country with horrible unemployed. I think it's over 70% unemployment.
Yeah, if you get married there, you're living with your parents.
Yeah, you're living with your parent, and you'll see a worship leader, Frank, who just a warm-up song a little bit, but we helped Frank come up with a dowry to pay to the parents of his wife, because they still do that in that culture. And so this church, that church there loves this church here. They watch us online. They pray for us. They know we pray for them. And so Kim and I took a team with Natasha and her husband, Terry. You put up a picture. I don't know. We won't start with it. Let's just throw whatever picture you got up there. We'll start with that. But Terry's our youth pastor. He's also a firefighter, and he's working this weekend, so they're not here. But they came with us, and I'm not seeing anything back here. They came with us, and this is the crowd. Go back to that first picture. That's Costa from South Africa. He's the retired national director, but he partners with us in this church, and he's dear friends. That's Pastor Terry at the far end and his wife, Natasha, then Anani and Clarette, and then Kim and myself. And that was our team in Burundi. And so we launched with a women's conference that they beggar to do every year, and I'll let you take up the women's.
Yeah, before I get started with that, I just want to make sure I let you guys know how much I appreciated your prayers while I was gone.
Yeah.
I mean, it was grueling. I don't know that I've been that sick in forever. Strep throat, flu, fever, and then the trip back was, I don't know how many, close to 25, 30 hours. 35 hours?
I passed out for about five of them.
Yeah, you know, it was one of those things where I'm usually in the bathroom when we travel, fixing my hair, my makeup, and getting all freshened up. I walked around, my hair was just stringing, no makeup, I'm holding a blanket, I'm dead to the world. But I felt the strength to get back, but you guys. I didn't need to stay. Nothing in me wanted to leave, but I didn't need to stay. So this picture here of Clarette, oh, my gosh. One day we're going to get them here.
Yeah, maybe next year.
Maybe next year. But Clarette is...
We figured out it'd be a little easier to get them here than to get us there.
She might be watching.
She knows.
She would love to come
They'd
here.
Love to come and visit, but we'd
and
be Annie, honored.
Her husband, he's just a really incredible, kind, teaching pastor. And Clarette is a lioness. I mean, she is bold as a lion, on fire, get stuff done. She is just powerful. So when we get to share together, I do with her what I do with our women's retreat, if you come to our women's retreat. So I do what we do at our women's retreat, message-wise, to their women. And so I brought in some oil lamps that we had. Remember you got those? I think we brought in close to, 150 or something, carry pack. My gosh. We got stopped in the airport. In their minds, we were bringing in little bombs, you know, because they're clay little pots with a wick on them. And I didn't think we were going to get them in, but we met this surgeon, and he was bringing in supplies, and he knew. And so we're showing them in the Bible. Yeah, I'm teaching on. So they let us through, but they took those. And each one of them have them in their house, either in a bedroom or a living room. And it's gold to them. What it meant and represent the teaching, but also that we gave them from this church a gift. And they know it comes from you guys.
And they love her modeling. You can give a hand. It was a huge... they know that whatever we bring or do or get, it's you. It's not us.
Yes.
And they love hearing her honesty, what we model, being real, what we call being ugly, our struggles, our failures, our family struggles. They're of the opinion that Americans don't really suffer. They don't go through the same. That there's no rape in America. There's no child abuse, or there's no molestation, or there's no divorce in the church. There's no, and by our honesty and Kim's honesty, we were with the men ministering to them while she's ministering to the women. And you're impacting this entire church by touching the lives of these women. And let's show the other picture. This is actually 2 years ago, but it's the same difference, just to get a feel of all the women. They dress in this incredible African, beautiful.
And they may go home to a very struggling little home that you would be like, oh my goodness. But they wear their best when they come to this is their women's retreat. They don't have the resorts and the things that we get to go to.
We pay for it.
We pay for it. And I do two teachings, and they do a little snack before and a little lunch in between, and it's a full day, and they wear their best. They've got their best.
2 hours on bus to get there.
Yeah.
And they're not that they're that far away, but they don't have any other transportation.
There was actually 25 ladies that wanted to be there. They just were so excited, but they've got gas lines, and they're out of gas, and they're backed up, and they couldn't get there.
The bus wouldn't come. Yeah, so, let's go to the next.
Yeah.
I've got a rare moment. I'm illustrating. I couldn't remember what I was what in the world I'd be preaching on the hold hands with my interpreter. And I give credit. Natasha is the only one, because she's the only one there other than my wife. And my wife didn't remember what in the world would I be talking about to hold hands with a man. It's not really my thing. And so we're holding it, and it wasn't his thing. You can kind of see body language. He's kind of leaning away.
And you did hold his hand for a long time. Oh, yeah. I was like, what are you doing, Jamie? This guy's freaking out here.
I won't even, if I had time, I'd have you guess at what I was preaching, but we could go down too many rabbit trails. Anyway, just talking about how the Father, when you walk with him, he holds our hand. He stands with us. He doesn't leave us alone. He says, so that was my point. Go ahead. This is Costa, who is an incredible, you've heard him here. He's an incredible teacher. And he's discipling this church. And we were honored. We didn't even know we'd be there at the same time. It was just a coincidence. God had him come there and us come there at the same time. Go ahead. This is a off moment. Church is over, but Kim's like, you know, they're up there.
They're dancing and still playing and cut. I had to get in on it. You know me. I'm like.
And this next clip before they start. No, wait. It's before church starts. This is their warm up. It's not even their whole team. They have five times as many.
This wasn't even what they're set for worship. They were just warming up.
Just worshiping God. But I want you to feel. You won't know what the words mean. If you do, that's a miracle translation.
Karundi.
You know Karundi, but you could feel it. And it's being led by this young man, Frank, who's one of the most gifted musicians. He plays the keyboard. He's the one that Pastor Kelly sang in Karundi with 2 years ago. He's the one that got married, and his wife's now pregnant, but he plays, he's just incredible. And this is nothing like their normal Sunday worship is rocking. I mean, he's all over the stage and rocking out, but I want you to just feel the spirit of this worship team. Go ahead. Actually edited out this high note he hit, and it was like, I don't know why we did that, but anyway, it's this amazing. Frank is just, it's just the kingdom of God. It's not about the same language. It's not about the same culture, same politics. Mm-hmm. It's the kingdom of God. Yeah. You're there with our African brothers and sisters, and their vineyard just like we are. They're just. I told them. I said, you know, I've been in a lot of vineyards in America, and your church is stronger than probably half the vineyards in America. I mean, don't think we're the white people coming from America and we've got it all together. We need what you have as much and as we can give back to you. Go ahead. This is the back of their church looking up. We put this roof on. This church put that roof on that church. Your generosity put that roof on there. It's open walls. It's natural ventilation. They pack it in there. They're there for 4 hours on. I mean, kids. It's the kingdom, though. You feel at home. You don't feel like, wow, they're so different, but yet we're the same. And I love that. Go ahead. This is just my two pillars I leaned on. Terry, our youth pastor, Pastor Costa from South Africa. And just what a joy to have just a team to serve.
And just a note, Costa is like a papa to them. Yeah. They're like his kids, Anani and Clarette. He helped when they first got established. So he's been going in to them, you know, and doing seminars and training, empowerment stuff. And it's
he invited us to be a part a number of years ago, and we're so honored. Go ahead. So we there's the full team again. The weeping when we go, when you coming, that's the first statement they talk about when you say goodbye. Now, when you coming back? When you coming back? And so, you know, hopefully we'll get them back next year.
And
so we'll see. Now we shift. We send Terry and Natasha home, which he throws up all the way home on the airplane, and it's a disaster ride. I'm sure he wanted me to share that.
He said she.
Did I say she?
Yeah, he.
Clarifying
it's
that?
It's not Natasha.
Let's just be clear. Okay. It was a strong guy. We both got sick in Burundi, food poison. Yeah. I think we shared a hamburger, cut it in half.
That's the only thing you shared together.
We shared a lot more than that. Okay. So they went home. We went on to Kenya. We're dog tired. But we show up. We have one day before the rest of the Vineyard people show up, 25 Vineyard people coming from America. So go ahead, our first day, our one day off, we went and fed the giraffes with a guy from Convoys, one of the big leaders.
Kevin
with a hat on. He took us to feed the giraffes. It was just a great
experience. There were about 10 of them and little baby ones.
That was our day off. Fed the giraffes, went home, crashed, finally had air conditioning, first time in 8 days. And so I'm just, I turned it down so far. You could hang icicles in there. But go ahead. Stop for a second. I'll give it context. So stay with me. Did we skip one?
I think the children.
No. Anyway, doesn't matter. Okay. This is Maasai Girls. Now, this is, don't play it, just wait. This is Maasai Girls that are part of the Convoy of Hope. These are kids that potentially you when you held up your fingers, these are some. The Maasais only raise cattle, but you'll see in this in a little bit, they train them agricultural. Their goal is that they'll be self-sustaining, not depending on those that sponsor them. So all of these kids have somewhere in England, America, wherever, South, that are sponsoring them since they were little to come and be raised into this school that are always connected to a church. Both Convoy that we'll talk about and Compassion don't work outside a local church. They work with, they aren't a local church. They partner with a local church. So this is our first, we're in the middle of nowhere. 4x4s had to get us there because we've been in flooding. And this is just some of their greeting to say welcome to Kenya. Go ahead.
Hello. How are you?
Hello.
Good. Hello.
Go ahead to the next.
We tried. We couldn't get that move down the way they.
I'm way too white to get that move down. I mean, they got that little,
that
little hiccup step. This is their way of saying thank you for coming. Welcome. They get maybe one group a year come and visit them. Go ahead to the next. This is our national leader, Jay Pathak. And I just want you to know how I stood there. I took this picture because, you watch us. We watch. I watched them. You know, and this is a guy. He just left England. He spoke at their national conference more times than a person should speak. He traveled. He's done 8 trips like this in different parts of the world. He doesn't need to prove anything. He's really highly respected. But he's there in front of 50 kids, giving them as much as he would give the national conference that we'll be at this summer. And just watching him later, you'll see another picture of him feeding the kids. And again, he's not the Vineyard.
He doesn't know he's being taken pictures of. We're just doing this behind the scenes.
It's not a photo op. Yeah. This is our leader, and we're impressed. He set the example like Jesus did of washing feet. It's not like I'm above being with these nobodies. I'm above, no, you know, this is just how the vineyard is modeled in leadership. Phil Strout, our former national director, he modeled it the same way. He's just Phil. He says, I'm all that in a bag of chips. He just, and our original founder, John Wimber, would say, I'm just a fat man who plays a saxophone trying to get to heaven. That was his motto. And he had apostolic callings on his life. He had healing anointings, but he just knew he's John. He never used titles, and Jay is the same way. And so I just want you to know the vineyard is in, and that's hopefully how we can model. Go ahead.
The closure of the school. The school was closed like 1 month ago. Yeah, and they are not
talking about the corn and planting it.
Yeah, so this is what they've done. The weeds that we're seeing here, hopefully when they come back next week, they'll do clearance, and then the corn will be ready for harvesting.
Corn will be ready.
Can I have a question? Do they plant the corn seeds by hand?
This is Pastor Kevin from Miami.
Okay, the preparation is done by disking. That is the tractor.
They disk it with a tractor.
They plant, they make holes or furrows. They dig holes by themselves, hand. Because you see, we have a lot of...
The children plant it by hand.
All of this is by hand?
All of this is by hand. Wow. There are so many. They're close to... They are over 300. So it's just...
300 children planted that. He said less than an hour. Yeah. Kevin didn't believe him. He's like, wow. Yeah.
It's like you group them, you give like a person two lines, then you give them a certain period of time, like you specify for them that they'll do it for 30 minutes, and within the...
So these are Maasai children that have never raised anything but cattle. They don't believe in that, but they're training their culture to be sustainable. So again, when you sponsor a child, you're not just helping their education and them getting a meal. They're being trained how to do something that's self-sustaining and how to give back. They're trained when they have a certain produce, a harvest, they give part of it back. Put the picture of Kim and the children standing there. This little girl in the green got selected to say something to us. And we had broken up into five different groups, seeing different parts of the Convoy of Hope ministry, and our turn was now at the cornfield. And this was my moment. I told some of my buddies afterwards, I said, I know why I came here. And because this little girl, she walks over behind the corn, and she stands there, and she's got her hand, she's very shy. And she puts her hand over her mouth, and she says, I want to thank you for giving us seed. When she said that, I can't tell you it's other than it's Jesus. And what we just read about, and Paul talking about God provides the seed. She didn't say thank you for giving us money. They'd have spent the money. But we gave them seed, and they planted the seed. And they're going to harvest the seed. And they're going to take part of the harvest and donate it back to the ministry there. And the rest, they'll feed their family. And then they'll use the seed for the next set of crops. And so they're being trained to be sustainable.
And I think that's what's beautiful. It's just not wealthy, generous people. They're the poor, but they're learning that principle we talked about this morning of generosity and giving, because they want to please and worship God, and you know God's just given back to them.
It's dignity. Yeah. It's dignity. Go ahead. This is just showing them. They encourage you. Show them your family at home. So I'm showing them our grandkids, and I love that some of our grandkids are the same color they are, which is really pretty cool. They were looking back and forth at me like, that's your grandkid? I don't know. He doesn't look like you. He doesn't, you know. Go ahead. This is, again, our national director. He's given cups of food. They're serving them lunch, and we're now in the Compassion International side. We've gone from Convoy of Hope. They're very similar, but the difference is Compassion, like World Vision, Kim and I support a couple children, World Vision, and you have their pictures. They write letters. You're supposed to write letters to them, and that's another story we'll talk about in the future, and I'm a horrible derelict in that, but we support them. But Convoy, you don't get to put a face on it. They have much less overhead, So it's much less expensive to sponsor a convoy child than to sponsor Compassion. You're going to pay more, but you'll have personal interaction. Most of the staff that work at Compassion and Convoy, for that matter, have been raised up in the program. Come from 4 years old out of a prostitute's home to now they're leading a ministry. Go ahead. This I'll tell you this story. Then Kim's up for the women's empowerment. But I had, you know, you're gonna go where you gotta go. This is the toilet for the school, old school, the church, for the men. It's a men's toilet. But I want you to understand that that cross piece is about 4'10". I'm 5'10". Maybe it's 5 foot. I don't know. Doesn't matter. I never saw it. I'm looking at the little hole in the ground and trying to figure out how this is going to work. And the hole is filled with sewer, filled. And I have a hat on. And so I'm walking, and I'm just focused on the hole. I'm like, God, how am I going to do that? Whack! I walk right into that thing. I had stars. All I could see was myself falling face first into the hole, face in the hole, and drowning in that. And I thought, What a story. What happened to Jamie? Well, he face planted in the toilet, but there's no toilet. It's a hole, and he drowned, and you know, what a way. I just, God, please, don't let this be how I go. There's got to be a better story. There's got to be. So anyway, that threw that in for my own reminder. Go ahead. Take it.
Yeah, so what's beautiful, she was leading us around and showing us a lot of stuff there, but she came up through the program, and she works with women empowerment, and which is getting jobs, taking these young girls and teaching them a skill.
Where do they come from?
The women, prostitution. They're rescued. They get brought into the program. They find these kids that are totally, they have nothing, and they bring them into the program. They get hot meals. They get stuff. But their moms can come in, the young ones, as they're growing up, the young girls, and learn skills. And some of these women have come out of really hardships. She was beautiful, beautiful spirit, loved her. So I hope to, there's a few things God put on my heart while we were there. I hope to see some things.
These next women that are singing are part of her ministry that have all come out of prostitution, abuse, and they didn't so much come as sponsored children. This is a different arm of Compassion,
yeah.
And they're ready. So let's hear them singing. This is gardening outside of the church, different area. They use every inch. Stop, if you
That's
could pause
Edgar.
It. Edgar, right?
He's a national leader.
I know it's hard to pause.
In Kenya,
there.
With the white pants on and the leather jacket.
He's a single dude. He leads 40 churches in Kenya. He's their national leader. And what a wonderful, wonderful brother. We brought them 25 copies of My Ugly Priest, Job. And he said, you wrote Power of Ugly, didn't you? And I said, yeah. He said, I've got that book. I've had it and made all my staff read it. I've had it for years. And I said, all right, you got the next book then. And so we got to meet a bunch of the national leaders, area leaders, regional leaders that came. But Edgar went with us, and they're teaching the church and the people how to be self-sustaining. Go ahead. Just Kim wanted to bring them all home. And I thought, oh God, this isn't gonna go
they
well.
They just cling to you, and you're just like, oh.
Have you
my
ever
gosh.
Seen her? Look at the smile. I'm just telling you, that's what generosity produces in your heart. Yeah. Go ahead. This is their greeting us at a different church. What if we had a welcome like that coming to the Vineyard? Come on.
Feeling they've been expecting us.
Kevin said, I feel like they've been expecting us. They had. He said he's going to go back to Miami Vineyard and work on their welcome. Go ahead.
I don't I don't know, the picture isn't spread out enough and close enough, but there's several vineyard pastors dancing in that group.
And that's not me in the back. The guy that can't dance, that's not me. It would have been me, but I didn't embarrass myself. Some of them knew how to dance.
I think Jay's back there.
The kids got a blast.
You see how many kids are in that auditorium?
And Rob, you'll appreciate this. Half of them are from Ohio, pretty much. And so every time they do a greeting, Charles Montgomery, African-American, they do whatever the Ohio thing is. And the kids, they teach him O-H-I or whatever. And the kids, they have no idea what that means, but they treat him. So he's done this several times. And there's 25 of us, but four or five of the couples are from Ohio. I'm like, all right, I'm done. Game over. And so he gets back up, and let's do the O-I-H or whatever. And I said, so I get up, and I say, we're Jamie and Kim. We're from Florida, the home of the Gators. And I did the Gator Chop. The place went crazy. The Gator Chop translated way better than H-I-O or O-I-H. And so we had a lot of fun on the side, but go ahead.
And just a little bit of a reminder.
Stop it right there.
The kids at the church, Convoy and Compassion, they're not just an organization in and of themselves. They work through the local church. So the local church then gets in the family's life and helps and ministers. So it's so neat to see
how they
make
the local church look good.
Yes.
Like Convoy did for us during Hurricane Ian.
Yes.
They brought us all these supplies, but we got the credit. All we were doing is distributing it. So this is one of the empowering women training how to sew to earn a profession.
You'll see some of the pocketbooks and carry bags.
Go ahead to the next.
That's beautiful.
So they trained in her to have a trade.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now the parents in the church, or the parents of the kids sponsored, are required once a month to come and serve in the kitchen. And Kim had a ball with them.
I don't know if you'll be able to see it, but they have. Let's
skip ahead. We'll go back. Can we go back to them? No.
Let's go back and start.
All right, we'll stay with the right rail. There we go. Wow,
these pots, I said,
this
Richie, eat your heart out. These pots were like this big. They have multiple. It's smoky in there. They use real wood, real firewood. You can see the fire under
Richie,
the pot.
Richie, eat your heart out. Look at this fire over here. Isn't it? Look at this kitchen. These ladies are going at it. It's a big school, a lot of mouths to feed.
Next picture is Kim with the team. Tell them you.
Yeah, I looked at all of them. And you know, they're trying to impress us. They know we're vineyard pastors and that our churches support them. They're trying to do their best. And so I look, and they're all working and showing how they're doing everything. I just looked at all the ladies. I said, hey, can I get a picture with you ladies? They threw their stuff down, ran, they grabbed me. They're showing out. They're laughing so hard. They're having the best time.
Now remember, they're not paid. There may be a leader in there, I don't know. But these are mothers that they're training them, dignity. Your child's being, because that child, they know if there's other children at home that are starving, they'll send packages of food home with the children that are being sponsored in the program. We were so impressed with Compassion International. Go ahead. But Kim's face, I mean, this is the face of generosity. Now, you guys empowered us. And they're thanking God. They know it's not us. But we're the joy of seeing that our leadership was able to see this happen. Your generosity of learning to partner, even though you'll never meet these women or never know just go ahead.
These are the girls that are learning to do hair and nails and skin. They were the little younger girls. And I tell you, the whole time I'm walking around there and praying, and I know Jamie too, I remember and thank God for you guys. Because I know we're not there. We're there because you guys. And our church is supporting a lot of this because of you guys. So when I'm there, I'm just sitting there thinking, I wish you all could be here, but thank God we get to represent. But I know it's this church and the generosity and the love of Jesus and the Spirit of God, His kingdom,
there. Just beautiful, beautiful. Come on. I mean, I just thought, God, we're going to go home. We're going home with children. I just know it. We're going to get arrested for kidnapping. But go ahead. I think this girl just stole Kim's
heart.
No,
I could have stole her.
She told me, she said, we're going to sponsor her, period.
She stayed with me the whole time. She just looked at me in my eyes the whole time. She wanted to use my phone. I was a little nervous. She was behind me. And, you know, sometimes you have to be warned. You got to be careful with certain things because they're very needy. And she's like, can I have your phone? Can I have your phone? And I was like, you know, what do you want to do with it? And she's behind me. And so she said the picture. They were singing happy birthday to some of her student friends. And so I thought, okay, she wants to do the picture. So I got it set up on the video. She walks over because they had other professional people that had already learned how to do video. She wants to be a video person. And so I could cry thinking about, like, I was just like, you can have my phone. But anyway, she's just sitting there videoing this whole thing. And she went up front and she felt like she was the biggest thing getting to do that. She came back and I kept giving it to her.
But we're leaving. And she said, we're going to sponsor. I said, we can't. We got two kids already. We can't. And I thought, oh, God, don't.
So I stopped the bus.
We're different vehicles. I said, wait. I got the leader. I said, would you check and see if this girl is sponsored yet? And he came back. He said, yes, she's already sponsored. And I thought, for my first thought, be
so
selfish.
Sad.
My first thought was, thank God I checked. Whew. If I'd have said, it's one of those, if I'd have said no, I'd lost both
ends. Yeah, I was already getting a little root of bitterness in my heart.
She was going to sponsor. Go ahead. This is Pastor Kevin from Miami, and they have the most diverse vineyard in the vineyard. But out of the blue during worship for 2 hours, these little girls, especially the one in the blue, she just took him over. She just came up, sat in his lap.
Yeah.
And he starts bawling. He's crying. He's like, because he early on, as he said, Jamie, why are we going to Africa? He's never flown across the pond. He's done Latin country missions and stuff. He said, well, and there's nothing, it's not like that's less than. But I said to him afterwards, are you glad you came to Africa? And he's tears in his eyes. And he said, I'm taking that girl home. I don't care. But she was already sponsored. But they ended up sponsoring someone there. And go ahead. This lady, we had at the end of every night, we're dead, but the vineyard just presses on and the compassion be or whatever. We have to have a debrief and worship. And so this woman was a guest speaker, and she had grown up in the program and graduated college from Compassion International. Someone had sponsored her. She had gone on her own, started a side ministry that Compassion blessed. We're on her board, and she takes in children that are thrown to the trash.
They actually drop them off in the trash.
And she takes them and rescues them. And beautiful. Like, you can't see her because she got
beautiful. We walked in the building. They fed us a buffet meal and all the pastors, and we're debriefing. But I met her first thing. She was there by herself. She just got there. Beautiful golden outfit, her hair, her jewelry, classy. But when you heard her story, that she grew up before Compassion Ministry, and they have the metal 10 buildings, holes in it. Her family was, when it would be raining, they would all have to get in a corner in the dark with no electricity and stand there as they're being rained on. It could rain for days, and they have little mats. And to see what she came out of and what God did with her and raised her up, and now she's giving back, helping empower women and helping babies.
And it's like, so she got done speaking, and being vineyard people, we just said, can we pray for you? Well, she started standing up. But before we got done, she's on her face. The Spirit of God. No, don't flick yet. Go back to her. The Spirit of God is now the lady we're praying for. The Spirit of God is on her, and the people are having prophetic words over her. I mean, these are leaders of really large churches that are just praying for one. And that's just the way the vineyard is. It doesn't matter if it's one or 1,000. It's all the same to God. And we just go ahead. Now we'll change to the next. Their core values, it's kingdom, servant leadership, love, humility, servant leadership, teamwork, fellowship, spiritual zeal, excellence. I mean, it's us. Go ahead. This is the 10-city poverty. It just goes for miles. Flooded. This is a home that we got to go in.
Monica.
Yeah, the boy in the red shirt is sponsored, and so he goes to the school. But then they sent us with a bag of gifts, and there were four other Vineyard leaders with us. We got to visit her and sit in her home. That's their home right
there.
Dirt
floor, that little curtain behind her. There's a mat for a bed behind that.
Five children.
She had something on her back, and we couldn't tell. It looked like a blanket. And then next thing you know it, the baby comes out. She was carrying it on her. But I tell you what, it just...
Her name's Monica.
So she had faith. Oh, my gosh, that woman had faith.
Only in the whole house was one Bible sitting beside her chair. And she just... glowed. Show that next picture. She just glowed. We're outside her house. I know you can't see up close, but just a beautiful face. And because he's sponsored, it's raised her whole. Her prayer. So how can we pray for you? She said she just wanted to get her own home that's not, you know, leaking, and you know, it's just they rent that, but they have no rent money. There's one light bulb.
Compassion does have an arm that does help with homes. It's
go ahead. This is just where she, this is the area that we visited to go visit her home. And the fact that that little boy was plucked out of there, go ahead to the next. This is our whole team, Vineyard. There's a few, Edgar in the front's the national leader for Kenya. There's a couple that are part of the Compassion Ministry, but you got two international ministries, Convoy of Hope, Compassion International, then you got Vineyard leaders that just took their time to say, let's come to Africa and see what God's doing. And now some of them have never been to Africa, and some of them never supported the ministry. So they hope that they'd come in. They know we've been all in. But yeah. Let me just tell you, we're going to go all in with Compassion International as well. So we're going to do twice a year. We're going to do Convoy of Hope. And sometime in Easter season, we're going to do Compassion National, where you sponsor a child and you actually have a picture, relationship, and you write letters to that child. I'm just sold out to we do that. But anyway, go ahead.
But that was the Compassion building.
Sorry.
We went through a whole tour of their building, which was quite impressive. Their offices, their structure, their meeting rooms, and all that they had. So they really
And Compassion treated us to a safari, which we thought was flooded. We couldn't go. So Kim's on a safari plane. Go ahead. We're flying, this is where we stayed. It's flooding, it's the Mara River, and our room was like right where that video is. And it's just, they said earlier they'd seen a hippo just roar by. Not swimming, just taken away with the flood. And so we were able to be there for a day, go ahead. And then the rest of them flew home. We stayed two extra days. Which was, one was wonderful, the other one was when she got sick.
Well, my guide I had, I loved him to death, he was precious, but he went through like seven or eight hankies, his nose a day, and it was like, I was real careful, but I was using his binoculars, and I was like,
go ahead.
Got a little love there.
Just giving you a taste, Lily, we could have taken all morning, and... We're so close. Kim's like,
seriously, I'm in the Jeep with an open Jeep.
And
here,
I'm like the lion.
And that's the lion. And I'm thinking,
she's like, I'm too close.
Yeah, he's wanting to hang out and see it stand up. And I'm
like,
let's go.
This is just African plains, kingdom of God. We're just riding along. We're rainbow people. And this is Kim in the vehicle taking a picture of the rainbow. The African plains represent the kingdom to me in so many ways. It's vast, it's diverse, it's open, it's majestic.
And I learned something. You know how their trees are kind of, I love their trees, they're kind of like a canopy.
You can see them in the distance there.
They all look like a canopy. Well, the reason for that is the giraffes have such a tall neck and they eat the tender leaves underneath.
They prune them.
They prune them and they
That's
shake the tree.
That's why they look like that, yeah.
Yeah, I
Go
was
ahead.
Like, oh.
This is us. Last day by ourselves, she's starting to, believe it or not, she's coming down with the whatever, Wuhan. She got sick. So, but that's the end of our glorious journey. And we want to say first thank you to a church that believes in the kingdom. and believes in God's work in other places. No, we work here. We feed, we care for the poor here. It's not either or, it's both. But if we haven't, we want to train a church to love people that will never know. They can't tell you thank you, so they tell God thank you. That's what generosity does. And you guys have been that. Thank you. Thank you.